Tonight is the first of six midweek Lenten services where we focus on our suffering Savior. It's a sermon series by Dr. Chris Mitchell. And for the next 6 weeks, our meditations, our reflections, are going to be based on the fourth servant song of the book of Isaiah. It's a remarkable chapter of the Bible. It's written about 700 years before Jesus comes, and it depicts Christ's life from the cradle to the grave. Exactly what we just saw, from his birth to his resurrection, and most especially, it depicts how he bore our sin by his suffering to earn forgiveness for us. This chapter in Isaiah has a very unique structure. It's like two big mountain peaks with a valley in the middle. There's three verses at the beginning that talk about the achievement and the success of our suffering Savior. And then for nine verses in the middle, Isaiah reflects on Christ's humiliation, his suffering, and his death for us. And then the final three verses talk about how the suffering Savior fulfilled God's will, accomplished our salvation, and was given the reward of a victor, which he shares with us. Starts and it ends on these elevated summits of joy at Jesus' success, and it portrays in the middle Christ's suffering in the valley between. And I'll tell you, in that way, it's very much like our part of the church year that we're in right now. We begin on Transfiguration Sunday with a mountaintop glimpse of the glory that we're going to see after Easter. And then on Easter morning itself, we're on the mountain of the resurrected Christ. But in between, we've got this valley. We've got the season of Lent where we do this journey of reflection on Christ's suffering, knowing that suffering will end in death, but that death will end in resurrection and life eternally in Christ. Our verse for tonight is, who has believed our message? Isaiah 53:1. And to paraphrase the question in a little bit more modern English, you might ask something like, who can believe it? Who can believe this message of Jesus Christ, the one that we just heard? This verse, it's really about the nature of unbelief and belief. See, some are turned away by Christ. Others, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they look at him, look at the same story, and believe. See, this part of Isaiah is written as if we're hearing two speakers, two eyewitnesses to the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it seems like the people who are speaking didn't believe, at least not right away. Or at least they didn't understand how and why Jesus' earthly ministry was going to end. But as they look back, they get it, they understand, and they believe. It's a lot like the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus is raised from the dead. See, they look back at Christ's life and they look back at their own reaction to it. Who could have believed this? I didn't, they say, and you can see why. But now I see, and I do believe. Do you? Isaiah asks, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? See, the arm of the Lord is God in action. It's God taking his strength and his power and using it to accomplish salvation among his people and deliver them from his enemies and from theirs. Long ago at the Red Sea, God stretched out his arm so that the Israelites could walk on safety through dry land, and then he used his arm to strike down the vast army of Pharaoh as they perished in the Red Sea. And then on the distant shore, the Israelites sing, your right arm, O Lord, is adorned in power. Your right arm, O Lord, shatters our enemies. That's Exodus 15. But see, now in Isaiah 53, the arm of the Lord looks different. In the Gospels, the arm of the Lord looks different. God is again reaching out to rescue his people from the forces of evil that threaten them. Threaten us, threaten to overwhelm us. God's arm is again in action, but this time, it doesn't look powerful. In fact, it looks pretty weak because it takes the shape of our suffering Savior. This is verses 2 and 3 from Isaiah 53. He grew up like a sapling before him and like a root from dry ground. He had no attractiveness or majesty We saw him and he had no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of pains, familiar with sickness, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. See, God's salvation is taking shape through a man who's like this tender plant who's struggling to live in a bone-dry desert. It takes shape in this man who faces opposition from all around him. He is rejected. He's even hated. He's a man who knows pain and suffering very well. When people see Jesus, they hide their faces from him. They are shocked. They are appalled, and they run away. See, in this picture, he has no visible beauty, no visible majesty that would attract us to him. This is the portrait of Jesus. He grows up in dry ground. As an infant, you remember King Herod tries to kill him. So his parents have to flee with him to Egypt, and when they come back, they settle in this hostile region called Galilee. He begins his ministry, and even his hometown of Nazareth rejects him. Jesus Christ went through life hungry and thirsty and tired and weary, and even his own brothers are skeptical of him. And yet the message that God speaks through Isaiah is that this despised and rejected man is actually the arm of the Lord. The man of sorrows who looks so weak is the embodiment of God's strength and his determination to save you and to deliver us from sin. And that's the astounding paradox of the Christian faith. Who can believe it? It's crazy unless it's true. Our reading is like an excerpt of these two people talking in Isaiah 53 who hadn't at one point believed the message but who now are shaking their heads and kicking themselves for not having believed it earlier. See, they say, who has believed our message? Ours. The skeptics who didn't believe before, now they do, and it's their task to proclaim it to everybody else. I wonder, by the way, whose name would be on their refrigerator. Many people in our world, they don't believe the message of Christ Jesus. It's easy, I think, to see why, because, I mean, who wants to admit that we are sinful creatures and that our sin, if not forgiven, will condemn us forever to hell? Who wants to admit that we desperately, desperately need help, that we desperately need somebody to rescue us from what we deserve? Who wants to admit that what the rescuer we need is somebody like the suffering Savior that we meet in Isaiah? Who can believe it? And then comes the answer. The answer is we do. We confess together. We believe that Jesus Christ, this tender shoot, this man of sorrows, this man from whom so many people hid their faces, is our Savior, is the Savior. Others might despise him and reject him, but we believe that he is the arm of the Lord, strong and saving us from our sins. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.